Radio.com.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Grace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rios, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rios Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRiosSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at WesternWishes.org.
This is For Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams.
Time for She's Gone Country with the CB Cowgirl. Introducing your host, Becky Christensen, and co-host, Becky Christensen O'Shield. Hey, let's ride.
Good afternoon, everybody. Can you guys hear me okay out there? Am I clear? Welcome to our show. We're happy to be back. This is my co-host, Becky Christensen.
You know what, Becky? It's great to be back. I cannot believe how fast a year has went by. You know, we owe a great big thank you to Group W for having us back again. Our second year.
Yes, our second year. And, you know, this is a bigger and better show this year. The construction from last year is all done. So I have a feeling this place is going to get packed up, and it's going to be a full house the next 10 days. And we're really excited. We have a great lineup this week. We're going to kick the show off today, but before I do that, I really want to say a special thank you to our producer. We run our show weekly on Blog Talk Radio, and you can find us at 6:30, www.blogtalkradio.com/4radio. And we do a 30-minute show, and my beautiful producer, Maria DiGiovanni, back here, was the one who graced us with her voice. So thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Maria. Beautiful job.
This is where our L.A. fashion girl meets country, so you got to watch out for her. And we're going to be bringing some great fashion. This is one of her beautiful garments that she sells that she's graced us with for fashion. So if you have any questions on any of the attire we have, talk to her. She can get you hooked up. Let's see here. I want to say thank you to American Hats. They've been gracious. They're a great supporter of everything that we do on our show and all of our events. And of
Trace
course, Rio Silver.
Trace
oh,
Rio
my goodness.
Silver. Have to have Trust Rio Silver.
Yes. Family takes care of family, and we just love what they do for us. And they're at the Cowboy Christmas.
They're at the Cowboy Christmas Convention Center. And so it's a family-operated business. Encourage all of you to stop by and say hello to Brent and Keeley and my grandson, Pecos.
Awesome. And He's roping.
Pecos is roping. Pecos is 10 years old, and he was invited by Roy Cooper to his invitational 13 and under tie-down calf roping. So we're excited.
So she's going to be sneaking in and out of here for a couple days, and we're going to have a secret guest co-host come on and help fill her shoes, which are really tough to fill because they're so cute and tiny. But they're very big at heart, so we're going to have fun trying to fill those. So without further ado, we've got a great lineup tonight, or today. And I always say tonight because our show's tonight. So, we better wait a second. That speaker. Okay, so I'm gonna let Vicky introduce our first couple guests. And we're going to just have them come on the stage. And we're just going to come up here and have them visit with us and talk about everything that they're up to here this week. And I'll let you go.
Okay. Well, like I said, we are so honored to have, you know, four great contestants, four great rodeo cowboys, WNFR. First of all, from my hometown state of Oregon, I would like to introduce Blake Knowles. Blake, come on up.
Blake. You're the next contestant on She's Gone Country with the CB Cowgirls.
Blake is a 3-time WNFR qualifier from the Columbia River Circuit. And along with Blake, we have Trevor Knowles.
Oh, you better, yeah.
Trevor is 12-time WNFR qualifier. Trevor, welcome. Also from the Columbia River Circuit. So we've got some great fun things, expecting some great stories out of these two. They've certainly been here and know the ropes. And go ahead, Becky, we've got two more guests
yes.
out there.
So also from the Great Northwest, we are going to welcome to the stage 3-time WNFR qualifier, Dakota Eldridge. So come on up. He's also, these are top 15 cowboys, and we're just really excited to help him. We're going to shake it up a little bit. We got some steer wrestlers, and then to really break the mold, because these are all guys from the home stomping grounds of the Northwest, we're going to go all the way south to where my dear and lovely Aunt Vicki resides now, to the great big state of Texas, and we're going to go to tie down roping, and we're going to welcome to the stage Mr. Cade Swore, and he is a 5-time WNFR qualifier. Boy, we got some years up here, and you're so young. Oh, and I hear they're cute. You guys okay up there? You got room? Thank you for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Go ahead. When you talk, if you can't hear stuff, though, make sure that you hold up, because he said sometimes we can't hear him. I don't know.
Monty's a great sound man, but, I mean, he's tough. He cracks the whip, and if we don't talk loud enough, he's going to be up here. So.
Okay.
Thanks, Monty.
So I just want to start. We're just gonna converse, have fun up here, but I just want, if you would, just each individually, just tell us a little bit about you've been here 3 times, you've been here 12, you're going on 3, 5. What has it been like this year getting to the NFR?
Well, it was kind of an up and down year. Most of the year seemed like it was up, actually. I kind of got things rolling about May and got on a pretty good consistent run of getting checks, and then climbed up and found myself in a pretty good spot and carried that all the way through July. Trevor and I both had a really good July and had a lot of fun. And then I guess about after Cheyenne, we went to the Northwest to those rodeos. I wouldn't say it was a bad fall or anything, but I did kind of slide down in the standings. And by the end of the season, it was pretty close. So I qualified in 15th. But I really felt like I had a pretty good year, actually. I wasn't too down on that. I was just about dang glad to be here for sure. So.
How about you, Trevor?
Yeah, it was started off real terrible for me. I don't think I had anything won until about Sisters, and then started turning things around, and then the rest of the year went good. Like Blake said, he had a great year. I think this is the most it's ever taken to make the NFR in steer wrestling. Last year, if he had what he won this year, he'd have been in the probably top 10 pretty easy. So it was just one of those odd years that everybody... You know, 1 week the top 5 guys would win, and then the next week the next 5 would win, and then and so on. And so nobody really got a lead or took advantage of it, and it stayed. It was a real tight race all the way to probably 20th, 25th. Every single person stayed real close.
Wow, absolutely. Dakota?
My year was pretty slow at the beginning. I'd won Kissimmee, Florida, and it gave me like 5,000 for that winter, and then I won a little bit, and then the spring rodeos treated me really good out there in California, and then kind of just placed here and there, and then kind of went through a dry spell there till about Pueblo, and I won the champion challenge there, and that dang sure boosted me back up there, and it just took a lot, like Trevor said, this year. So anyways, it was years past I'd have been in a lot sooner, but this year, I think just with the big money down here, a lot of people stuck it out all year and were trying a lot harder and took a lot more money.
My year is pretty decent. I had a pretty slow winter. I think I won 10,000 or something. Got tapped off pretty good out there in the springtime, and I don't go anywhere in May, so just took the month off. And then starting June, it was real good. Kind of a slow Northwest, but just stayed pretty consistent, clipping along, and just happy to be back.
Well, Dakota, you were talking about in years past, y'all would have been, qualified and higher up in the standings. Do you think that's due to the fact that there's more rodeos adding more money, and it's kind of being more evenly spread around, or or how does that? How, what's your thoughts on that?
No, I mean there definitely we've seen some purse increases, you know, around the PRCA, and that's great. But I think it was just more situational. It just, for whatever reason, you know, the steer wrestling's always always known to be one of the deepest events as far as the level of talent from first all the way down to 50th is very small difference. You know, I mean, there's a lot of really good steer wrestlers, and so we trade a lot of money. And so when you trade money, it makes that bottom maybe a little bit lower. But for whatever reason, this year we didn't maybe trade around as much, and I think the top 25 guys maybe dominated a little bit more, and that brought that bottom up a little bit. But, yeah, I think if you look at, like, what it took last year, I think you had dropped clear down to what maybe the low 20s would have had enough to qualify last year, you know, as far as the world standings. So.
Well, and I'm curious. Now, you two travel together, correct? And your family. So how's that work traveling down the road together?
It works pretty good. There's not a lot of people I trust driving, especially when I'm tired. So I just, and I don't know, Blake's been pretty good. He's
good thing he sleeps while I drive.
Yeah, I just give him practice for having that kid just sleep all the time. He can drive. But, no, he has good, you know, and being family, that sure helps too. You know, everybody's, you know, you always want your friends and your traveling partners to do good, and it's even more so when you're family and stuff. And so that just gives us doubles up on our sport at home, too.
Well, one thing I would like, you know, I'm certain that a lot of you already know this, but the Knowles family is synonymous throughout the world of pro rodeo. And Blake's dad is Butch Knowles. He's an NFR competitor, been here many, many times. Your dad and I kind of grew up in the same generation, so I mean, you know, we'd see him, we'd roll into Ellensburg or Lewiston or wherever, and of course all of you know Butch now is a great commentator of professional rodeo, and that's Trevor's uncle. So anyway, it's great to see the Knowles family represented.
Yeah, and then just to add back on what, you know, you guys are talking about traveling and stuff, it's really important. As much time as we put on the road and many hours we spend on the road, I mean, it just makes it so much easier to be traveling with someone with the same mindset, the same ideas, the same strategies, you know. And I think that's one thing that Trevor and I have always helped us. You know, we've traveled a lot together over our career, 10 years or whatever, and on and off. And that's always been the easiest part, is we kind of always have the same ideas and want to do it the same way. And even Dakota, I traveled with Dakota a few years ago, and we found the same situation. You know, it just makes it so much easier.
Well, let's talk about Dakota a minute. Your hometown is Elko, so tell us why you chose Columbia River Circuit for the circuit that you picked as your home base.
You know, I went to college up there in Pendleton, Oregon, and man, it's a great community up there, and I got to know the Knowleses, and Brad Goodrich, Jake Stanley, Matt Funk, so many good rodeo guys up there, right there in Hermiston, and it's just an awesome place to rodeo out of, and I guess my first year I roped with Garrett Jess up there, team roped with him up there, and he's the one that kind of got me to stay up there that summer in rodeo, and I did all three events, the amateur rodeos and circuit rodeos and stuff, and it was fun. I feel like I'm at home up there.
That's awesome. Well, and, you know, the Northwest group, well, and Texas, too. I mean, you go to Texas, and everybody loves you down there. There's such great people down there, but it's a lot like the Northwest. It's all a big family, and that's how the rodeo community is. And I was just curious, because when I called you, I'm like, Elko, but he's in the Columbia River Circuit. There's a story behind that one, so we had to find out what that is.
We were kind of hoping he might go back to his other circuit after that first year.
I don't do any good up there anyways most of the time.
Well, we got better rodeos anyway, so I'm just
now Becky. Okay, all right. Oregon girl at heart, but
well,
let's talk about Texas rodeos.
Yeah, because San Antonio just won large rodeo of the year, so I mean that's a testament to the caliber down there. So tell us a little bit about your travels in Texas and what's like, because that's a big state and a lot of rodeos, and roping's kind of king down there. So
yeah, it's I don't go to many down there. They're too tough to win at. San Antonio and Fort Worth, San Angelo, those are the, you know, and Austin used to be pretty good, and those are the better ones now that count for the PRCA and stuff, so it's pretty good in the wintertime, but you're ready to leave in June, it gets too hot.
You don't know anything about that, do you, Vic?
Oh, no, I know nothing about that. You know, it's like being in the middle of Phoenix, Arizona, in the summertime, except with humidity and a lot of it. But, you know, a lot of people will say, you know, traveling and rodeoing across Texas, you know, it's such a huge state. I mean, you could have crisscrossed the Northwest a couple of times by the time you go from Houston to El Paso. It's big.
They got to add quite a bit of money to drive from one side of that state to the other to go to them, I promise.
Well, and I know that you guys have had some crazy weather this year. I mean, it's kind of like almost like your web footers down there, and we're kind of getting the sun up here. So I don't know what that's all about. But did you have some tough travels come across here? Because there was a storm that hit pretty heavily, and a lot of you guys are traveling with your horses and everything.
It was pretty icy from Amarillo to about 30 miles on the east side of Albuquerque. So it took a while, but, I mean, it wasn't terrible.
Too bad. Okay, so before we get going, I want to touch, because we know – Kate, you just got married in October. So share us a little bit about your nuptials, because your beautiful wife is out here.
Hi, yeah, Sarah.
She's out there. Yeah, we got married in October, and she took me to some island for my honeymoon. And, yeah, it was nice. You know, it's been awesome so far, and looking forward to spending the rest of my life with her.
Aww. And she's a former Miss Rodeo Colorado, correct? So she married a beauty queen.
Excellent. I got lucky. So did you. Shut up.
And Blake, you just had a daughter in August.
Yeah, we did. My wife and I had a little girl at the end of August, and so we've been kind of, you know, getting through all that and adapting to parental life instead of, you know, the newlywed life, and so just kind of that transition phase, and you know, it's going good, and we're really enjoying it.
Well, wow, I bet it was hard to leave in August and hit some of those big rodeos coming up in the fall run.
Yeah, it was a tough situation. She was premature by a couple months, and so we found ourselves in the ICU or whatever for a couple months, and then I was really hoping to be already kind of in the finals with what I had won, and I felt pretty confident, but like we mentioned earlier, it took so much money that I was hoping to get to a point where I could kind of pull back and just go to the, you know, Pendleton and Omaha and just maybe skip a few and get to stay there and help a little more, but that really wasn't the case. I kind of had to stay hooked to make sure that we got down here in December, and so my wife was great. She was at the hospital for a month straight, every day, all day, and it was a nice surprise that last day of the season. I ended up having to place at a rodeo to make the NFR, and then they released her, and she got to go home the same day. So it was a good day for our family.
So we got the two married guys on each end, and then we got the single guys in the middle. But I think Trevor's pretty steady.
Not single, not married.
Okay.
All
you ladies,
moving on.
Out there, set down.
Okay, so now that we've established your relationship status, like you put on Facebook or something, and we've established that Blake's daughter's already Snapchatting, and the question I have for you guys, because, you know, we do a lot of social media and a lot of, you know, publicity through social media. How has that affected you folks traveling down the road rodeo-wise? Have you taken to that and really used that to help, you know, promote what you guys are doing out there in the Western world?
Well, I think you probably should. I don't. I suck at that, personally. But, yeah, I always tell people, they want to know what I'm doing, just give me a call. I'll visit with you for an hour or two.
Old-fashioned right there. Nothing wrong with that.
Well, it is kind of tough. I was talking to a guy the other day that was wanting to do some stuff out here with me, and it's kind of it's a weird situation, you know, because as a cowboy, you know, you kind of have this persona and this, you know, mindset, I guess, that you're more like John Wayne, you know. So you got to have this John Wayne attitude, but then you got to be one of the Kardashians online. And so it's a little conflicting, I guess, you know. So I'm kind of with Trevor. It's hard. Yeah, I have to make myself kind of do it, and probably should do it more and don't do it enough. But it's a powerful tool, that's for sure.
How about you, Dakota? Now, let me just tell you about Dakota. I was trying to put a little picture notification out about who my guests were today and who we have coming on our show, and I was, okay, Dakota, where's your picture? So tell us about your social media here. Do you utilize it much, or?
My sister, she does all that for me, so she's always on me to try to do it more and stuff, and she does quite a bit, because a lot of the fans and stuff in Elko, you know, they're always, they love it when you do it, but at the same time, like Blake and Trevor said, you hate doing it, but it's
He's lying. He likes doing it.
But no, it does. I mean, it helps with your sponsors a lot,
yeah.
And I think they see some, you know, reward out of it. If they're sponsoring you, they get something out of it. But at the same time, it's hard to do it.
It is when you're on the road and you're traveling, and trust me, if you don't have someone, I'm trying to get my daughter over here, Miss, to do it for me, because I'm constantly, if I'm running late, sorry, it's doing social media. But I'm saying it's a powerful tool because, and why I brought these folks on is because, you know, there's so many great cowboys, and there's only 15 that come each year of the WNFR in each event. And it's really important, I think, that all of the 15 contestants in all the events get some, you know, the recognition that they deserve, because you guys work hard all year long to get to where you are here today.
You do. And Sarah, I have a question for you. I know Kay's probably got you grooming horses, and, you know, that early... Just kidding. But tell us, do you utilize social media at all, Kate?
Sarah does.
I knew Sarah was in charge.
Yeah.
You know, one thing really interesting about Facebook, Twitter, this type of thing, every once in a while you'll scroll down through the news feed and you'll see someone, well, you know, they're broke down over here near Tyler, Texas, and they've got three horses and they're not going to be able to get their truck out of the shop for 4 days. Who's got a place to put the horses? And I think that's one thing really, really good about social media, is because there is a helping hand out there. And when you rodeo, you know someone almost every place.
Yeah, social media, rodeo in 15 years, I mean, you know pretty much everybody in the phone book in every state. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you were saying, getting down here, and you want to try to capitalize on this big opportunity, because, you know, we get more media, we get more TV, we get more just direct, I guess, contact with people this 10 days than we do, you know, maybe as much as we do the rest of the year. So you want to take advantage of that. And then, and also, I mean, yeah, there's some sponsors that they just really want to help you out. But there's other sponsors that they expect to get a return on their investment. They want that exposure and they need that advertising. And so, I mean, whether you get someone that will do it for you or you make yourself do it, but you got to find a blend, you know. I think you can overdo it too.
Okay, so now moving on, I have some questions for you. Let's talk about the circuit finals and how you guys all fared at the circuit finals. I'm not sure when Texas circuit finals were.
I'm not either. Okay.
Me either. I didn't make it.
But hey, you're moving on. The big circuit finals. You're in Vegas.
Yeah. They're January 1st through the 3rd, I think, something like that.
Now, and that's a totally separate category, because that takes you to Florida is it March?
End of March, first April, exactly sure.
Yeah. So we were down in Yakima, and I'm just curious, tell our list or our audience how you guys fared down there. It was an interesting couple days down there for steer wrestlers, tie down ropers, kind of the whole roping into the chutes.
Yeah, it was great for us, I guess. Trevor and I had really good, I don't know about circuit years as a whole as far as how much we won in our circuit, but as far as the finals go, and the year we had in our circuit, it was good. I ended up winning the year end for the steer wrestling in the circuit, and Trev won the average there at the finals. And Dakota won a round and maybe placed in two rounds. I mean, he had a great finals, kind of stumbled on the third one, but he dang sure won quite a bit of money too. And so it was good, but yeah, we moved venues to Yakima, and it's a really small building, kind of like the Thomas and Mack, and I think that kind of created a tough situation for some guys and their horses and stuff, like in the calf rope or in the bulldog, and it's not something that they see a lot throughout the year. So I think that, you know, there were some no times and there were some struggles, but I thought it was a good rodeo, and it was a better rodeo than it was the year before, and so it was a step in the right direction.
Well, you know, we're just really so blessed, because all of you have, you know, qualified many times for, you know, the national finals. And I just, you know, I'm certain every year there's something special about every year. But, you know, go back and click in the archives of your mind and be thinking about coming up with a special story of that qualification that really, really was above and beyond all others. Kate, you're five times, right?
Last year. No doubt. I didn't make it for, I think, 7 or 8 years in a row there, and then being back last year and again this year, you know, it was pretty special, because I didn't know if I was going to make it back there for a little while, but glad I did.
We're happy you did also.
Thank you.
How about you, Dakota?
I guess probably my first year when I rodeoed with Blake was probably pretty special to me. It was kind of my first full year of rodeoing, and man, if I wouldn't have had Blake, I don't know if I'd have made it. Just, he did the entering, told us where to go, and I mean, he put up with me for, you know, 6 to 9 months, and I mean, it was awesome. And Blake was right there too, and I mean, he always pumped me up no matter what, you know. I mean, it come down, I think Blake was, what were you that year, 17th? Or?
Yeah, see, I was going to just stop entering him right there that last week, but I couldn't have done that, so I just told him to keep bearing down. But
no, it was fun, you know, and I learned a lot that year about entering and everything and just traveling and how to get to the right rodeos and what rodeos to go to. So that was pretty special to me, and I ended up 15th that year, so just kind of snuck in there.
Had a good final too, huh?
Yeah, that year I went from like 15th to 5th. And won a little over 90,000, and it was a great first year. Couldn't have been happier.
Well, I'd say every year you make these to make it to here, there's no easy year. You know, some years you have luck at the right spots and win some big checks, and it kind of bumps you up the standings a ways. But I mean, you got to be super consistent throughout the year and take advantage of all your opportunities. But I'd say the most memorable one would be 2007, and I rodeoed all year that year and was about 35,000 out of the top 15 by the 1st of August that year with not much time left. Was going to go home and do whatever, build fence, and my parents told me I wasn't welcome home until the rodeo season was over. So
imagine that from the Knolls.
Yeah, had a couple pep talks and just kind of got my mind back straight, and I mean, just won everything for the next 30 days. Won Ellensburg, won Lewiston, won Walla Walla, won Kennewick, won second at Pendleton, won, ended up going in fourth or fifth in the world that year, and just got on a serious heater at the exact right time because I was going to be fixing fence for sure. And so, yeah, it was the first time my parents told me I wasn't welcome home, and I really appreciated it.
Tough love. Well, and I want to talk about that because, well, let's hear from Blake.
Oh, mine are, you know, I don't know that I have really one that stands out because they've all been a lot of work. And dang sure the reward felt just as good, you know, when I did get there. So, I mean, this year I felt most, I tell you what, this year was the closest I came to not making it, and yet I felt more comfortable the whole entire year. I just felt, I mean, I really felt like I was supposed to be here, and dang sure, you know, I made it in 15th, and we're glad to be here, and any of these guys will say it doesn't matter, especially this year if you're 15th or 1st, but, I just kind of felt the whole year like, oh, I have this deal done. But, you know, the first two were dang sure I was in a situation kind of like Trev was, where I was having decent years but was kind of coming to the end and was dang sure behind and mapped out a way to get here, but it was not an easy way. You know, it usually I had to, you know, do really good at Puyallup or win Omaha or succeeded, you know, doing that. So they've all been really memorable and dang sure. Like Trevor said, they don't give these back numbers away just for any other reason than hard work and dedication. So,
well, and they treat you pretty good here. I mean, share with us. You guys had the back number ceremony just a couple of days ago. Tell us a little bit about that
event.
It looked
like a big party, good party.
I was going to go, but I just got into town, so I was a little tired. But I saw the pictures, and it looked like it was a really fun event. You guys get a bunch of stuff from your sponsors. Share a little bit about that.
Well, yeah, it's a special night, I guess. You know, a lot of it, because a lot of the guys that we see rodeoing, like, you know, Cade, he's one of our really good friends, and I mean, everybody knows he's a steer wrestler that can rope calves really, really good. And so he hangs out with us a lot, but there's a lot of guys you don't hang out with as much throughout the year, and you just always see him in a rodeo environment, and I think that night creates a situation where, you know, everybody, you know, you dress up and you maybe talk about rodeo, but you also talk about life and how the year is going and stuff kind of away from rodeo, and just a little more of a social gathering than a rodeo event. And also it's just a, you know, it's kind of the kickoff to, you know, this feels real and it's starting right now and excitement, I guess, but it's always a fun night.
Yeah. It just reminds you how lucky you really are to be here. And when you walk out there and they give you that back number, no matter if it's your first time or your 12th time, it's special. That's a special night. It's always one of my most favorite nights during the week out here.
Yeah.
Well, Becky, we had the chance, didn't we? Did we swing in last year, didn't we?
Yeah,
for a little while.
Yeah.
We were there for,
We went last year, and it was quite an amazing event. I mean, they do a good production, serve you guys great food, and they just really make a good deal. It's the red carpet for you guys, and I think that's what's pretty
special. That was very exciting, and it has to be a real thrill and an accumulation of a lot of hard work. You know, and a lot of heartbreak, laughter, tears, it all goes together. I mean, what a fantastic group. And like I said, y'all represent so many years of WNFR competition.
Well, and so now what I'm curious, because I know maybe some of our audience doesn't understand, you get here, you've worked all year long, you come in at your place, 12th, 10th, 5th, 1st, wherever you're at in the top 15, what happens now? Slate wipe clean. Where do you guys go from here as far as competition goes for the title, all around, all that?
You just do what you've been practicing your whole life to do. You know, once this rodeo starts, nodding your head's the easiest part for us. Obviously, it's not social media or interviews, but you know, once we get in the arena, you know, that's where we're at home. That's
where
we're
you
most
feel
comfortable.
Most at home.
Yeah, and you know, just go do your job. That's all you can do. You know, don't get caught up in all the stuff. It's Vegas, so you know they. It's real easy to kind of forget what your job is here with all the lights and the fans and everything else. But, you know, just settle in and go do your job and do it 10 nights in a row and you get to go home. So.
Well, you know, I have a question, and that is, I mean, I know you all hauled and you have horses with you and everything. How many times are you actually allowed? When do they start letting you into Thomas and Mack to get your horses, you know, get some groundwork with them and get...
I think you can go in at like 4 in the morning or something.
Oh, my
no,
gosh.
No, it's like 7 to 9 if you wanted to go in the arena and ride there. But you really, we don't go in there until it's time to rodeo.
Until it's
after,
time.
You know, after the grand entry, we
ground's
go outside.
Always good, and you just...
We get what was that, Tuesday, we go in there and we run the steer S and steers through and throw them down out of the bucket chutes and get our horses inside. You can ride in the box. Kind of do some stuff in there for a couple hours, and that's it. That's the only time we'll be in there.
We have the same deal in Caffrey Open. Monday night we go in there and rope and breakaway and just prepare them. And then this morning I got up. We tied them at 8 o'clock, got them prepared again. We roped 3 different pens of calves, and Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the first 3 perfs, we get up and go in there and prepare the calves, and we can ride around for a minute if we need to or whatever.
Well, and I'm curious about that, too. Let's talk about the cattle and the stock, because I know come September, end of the year, especially when we were up in Spokane, boy, our cattle were just tired, and they'd go to a certain part of the arena. You guys would walk away irritated. it was just tough because of the time of the year that it was. What is the stock like down here for you guys, being December? I mean, do they haul in fresh cattle? Are they ready?
We rope calves that have never been to a rodeo, so we go prepare them at the guy's house that owns them and get them ready and broke in, but they've never been to a rodeo when they get here in the calf rope.
Wow.
We get in the steer wrestling. You know, we have cattle have been rodeoed on. You know, I think the steers we run tonight have been going since April, and flying you rodeo steers and. So they'll go tonight, but you know, you kind of have an idea throughout the year who's got kind of good quality stock and who has enough of them, because by the end of the year there's some that are just worn out, you know, like we are. And then we pick 20 from Flying U and then 2 other contractors as well, and we have 3 sets of steers to run out every other night, and you know, we try to do the best we can. We want to even shop for everybody, and so we'll see. You know, you only have so much to work with, but it should be good. Tonight's deer should be really good here for sure.
I guess trying to maintain a consistency with the 3 different sets of steers, and the same thing with the calves, and any stock contractor that you know, you got to keep them evenly matched.
Yeah, we like Trevor said, we go, you know, we take one set out of California, and we take them to Luke Branquino's house, and well, Dakota was there for 2 weeks, and we were there for a week, and, you know, you practice every day, and that's really handy. But one thing that every year you can just count on is this building and the whatever the reason is, there's 1 or 2 that just aren't what you thought they were, or they show you something you hadn't seen before. And so, I mean, we do the best we can on hand-picking them, but there's always some X factors.
Well, and I think... and I'm sure you guys would agree, that's probably the one thing that the spectators maybe don't understand the importance of is your calves and your steers, because we, you know, you have your horses, you have your hazers, which I want to talk about that in a minute, but you got to have good cattle out there to get the job done. So I thought it was important to just make sure that we make a note about how those are handpicked.
I've been watching when I'm working out or bored or whatever. You can Google YouTube, you know, NFR whatever year 13, 11, 7, what, and it just, they have this deal where they're put to music and they show good runs throughout the 10 days, dubbed down, you know, to 3 or 4 minutes. And there's one thing you always see is there will be one or two steers, whether a little red steer or a little pink steer, and he's on there every single time that he went out of the chute, you know. So there's always some that become way more famous by the end of than others, and some that you want a lot more than others, especially in the steer wrestling.
Well, I have a question, and that goes back to, you know, being mounted right, the horses you have. And I know, you know, at the last few months of trying to make the finals, were there times when you just hopped on a plane and someone mounted you when you drove in? Somebody had a good team there? And
well, we're lucky in our event, you know, because everybody in the steer wrestling needs that option. And so you can pretty much get on anybody's horse that you need to at the time, and you're pretty good at lining it up, you know. Like the last week of the season, like I had my horses in Omaha, and Blake had to leave and go out to California to some other ones, and he had his horses there, and he had somebody else there hazing. You kind of go and you kind of set it up, and then especially that time of year, everybody's on the same. A lot of people are on the same schedule, so they're trying to get horses here and there, and you know, everybody helps each other out in that event. You know, and not all events are like that. You know, but in the steer wrestling, I don't know if they're afraid that you're going to get your butt whipped or what, but we pretty much help each other out all the time.
When you said not all events were like that, that's why I was looking at Cade and kind of going like this. So, yeah, tell us about your calf horse.
My calf horse? He's pretty good. I like him. He's pretty special, really. He's the best one I've ever owned. Probably going to be the best one I ever do own. He's 14 years old, and when he's done, I'm probably going to be done as well. And really looking forward to riding him out here for the next 10 nights. I think he's going to be pretty good. He was pretty good out here last year. So he made it fun again for me, and he's probably the reason I'm here. So very thankful for him.
Well, and so let's talk about tonight. Tonight's the first round. What goes into a contestant's mindset? I mean, you get down here, like you said, it's all fun, all this glamour stuff, but when do you really lock down and get in that mode? And you leave here today from the stage, what happens?
Well, everybody kind of has their own.
We get real excited. We're not going to lie to you.
They're just being mellow right now.
I've been excited all morning. I know,
yeah.
Blake is, Dakota is.
Well, I think you get down here early enough, you know, and we hang out and talk about it and talk about it and talk about it. Well, we're sick of talking about it. We're ready to go, you know, back in the box for some money and do this deal. But everybody kind of has their own warm-up and their routine and what they do. But, like, I mean, you know, I guess I'll try not to really worry about it too much at all until, you know, until maybe we go draw or something. I think you can overthink it. I think you can overdo it. But dang sure, you know, your mind's on your business by the time you pull in there with that Thomas and Mac. But I don't know.
A couple of years ago, I wasn't even getting nervous. And then I started to get nervous because I wasn't getting nervous. I'm like, I know there's got to be butterflies here somewhere. Where are they? Where are they? And I was up, and I was like, now I was really nervous because I hadn't had the butterflies. And as soon as I rode in the box, I was like, oh, God, there they are. All right, get this one out of the way immediately.
I know, yeah, exactly. I think sometimes, you know, you can think like, geez, I need to calm down. I got too much. And then other times you're like, man, I feel like I need to pump myself up. So I don't know. We've run enough. All of us have run enough. You know, steers, calves, whatever.
You can say steers.
In big competition times, whether we had lots of pressure or no pressure or whatever, that I think all of us at this point, you know, Dakota's the youngest, but, man, I mean, he's put himself in the corner to win lots of money since he was probably 10 years old team roping, you know, and stuff. So it's kind of like any sport. By the time you get to this point, you hopefully that's really not going to be an issue. I mean, you say that when you go to ride in and there's 20,000 people and they're calling your name. I guess we'll find out. But we should. I mean, we all know. Trevor said earlier, take care of business and do what got you here.
It's fun for me because I, I have a pretty good routine out here. I try to stay pretty low key, and then I'll help these guys in the bulldogging or whatever sit there and watch. And when they get done, then I kind of get it on my mind, and I go back there and chill and focus. And so it, you know, with them being the second event, they probably don't have as much time for me. But like for me, I'm down their way, so I could get real worked up if I wanted to. But I'm old enough now to know better.
How about you, Dakota?
I think it's kind of funny. The first year I made it, I thought, man, I'm not getting nervous, you know, and I thought, it's got to hit me sometime. And I thought, maybe when I ride in that grand entry, I'm going to, you know, it's going to hit me. But it never really did. And I just remember before I rode in the box, I remember Wade Sumter, he's told me, just try to break the barrier. Just go as fast as you can, you know, because the bulldogging start is so fast. And so I just took his advice, and Sean Mulligan's hazing for me. And he told me right before I rode in the box, he says, when you get in there, make sure you wiggle your toes. He said, then you'll be relaxed. And I thought, what? And anyways, I backed in there, and I wiggled my toes. And I mean, I thought, well, at least I can wiggle my toes. I must not be that nervous. So I won second that night. And so anyway, that's just kind of funny.
And I bet that next night you were wiggling your toes again.
Yeah, a lot, yeah. Yeah, I thought wiggling
the second
toes.
Round.
So I guess my question, we have just a few minutes before the show wraps up, but share with us each of you, what was your most memorable rodeo or event this year so
getting
far?
Getting married.
Awesome. Look at that. Kudos. Good answer.
Good man. He had the right answer.
Well, kind of the same deal. I had a little girl, so that was kind of right up there. But as far as rodeoing goes, I don't know. Every time you do good at a big rodeo, I mean, it means a lot, whether it was Cheyenne or Salinas or maybe just winning fourth at San Bernardino, you know, I mean, that was a pretty good deal. But
that was a big 600.
Yeah, it was, yeah. So that's tough to nail down. But, I mean, yeah, anytime you go head-to-head with these guys and have some luck, it's pretty memorable. So.
Trevor?
Shoot, I don't know. I mean, I was pretty excited to see that Blake made it. I know that. Like I was driving back from Omaha and my girlfriend, she was on the phone trying to keep up and figure out who needed to do what, and I was driving and wouldn't stop and wouldn't sleep, and then once they said Blake made it, I let her drive and I just passed out, and I'd been driving for like 12 hours straight or something. So
big brother.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Does that to me when I drive, he just passes out.
That's why he loves your driving.
You've never seen me drive.
Okay, I never did either going down the road. I just fell asleep. I think I still do that. So, okay, and then another question that I have for you guys is, and if I can think of it, because I had it and I lost it, but first of all, you treasure that little girl as being a newborn at 3 months, because you wait till they get that age. Welcome to the no sleep, worry for the rest of your life club.
Yeah, I'm starting to get a feel for that, I think, yeah.
Definitely
they
a zone.
Say it, but until you do it, I guess you don't know.
Oh, my goodness. So now, wanted to touch on real quick, and necessarily won't pertain to the tie-down roping, but your hazers. Talk about your hazers, because how do you choose who you bring down here, or is just a bunch of them? How's that all come about?
I'm
hazers?
Doing it tonight for all three of them. They don't know it yet.
Well, I'm riding Trevor's horse, and so I kind of threw it at him and said, for one, you've been here 12 times, and I think you've probably gotten enough experience more experience than I do in the deal. So I said, whatever works for you is good enough for me. So I kind of let him, and, you know, so since I'm riding his horse, it's kind of, you know, it is my decision, but at the same time, I'm fine with whatever he chooses, so.
Yeah, and I've had, there's lots of great hazers and lots of, you know, and that's not all that it is boils down to, you know. So, like, this year I called Lee Graves and asked him if he'd come and haze for me, you know, and I've had, me personally, so much confidence with him. I've rodeoed with him, traveled with him, ridden his horses here. He's hazed for me at the Calgary Stampede every year, and, I mean, he's really good for me because I get, you know, he brings you down, keeps you level-headed, and keeps you focused on task at hand, and he's a phenomenal horseman, and so I think that's a lot of it, too. He hazes great, helps with the horses, you know, and help, and he's darn sure a guy you want in your corner, and I think he's great, you know, and like Dakota, he's got, I think Sean Mulligan's hazing, who's absolutely one of the greatest hazers there is, you know, and that good too, which he'd be great to haze for me. And it's kind of just however it, you know, whatever fits you the best.
Well, like, I guess, go ahead, Dakota.
Yeah, like Trevor said, though, Sean's hazing for me and hazed for me the last 2 years, and he's been hazed for me and Luke this year. Luke's riding my horse, and last year I think he hazed maybe, I think, five guys each night, and, I mean, just never missed a beat, and that mare of his, Champagne's awesome, and I'm kind of excited this year because he's just hazing for me and Luke, and I think he'll... you know, our horse can buddy up a little bit more. Used Hayes for Bray Arms on the yellow horse. And anyway, so I'm just excited this year. Just have two of us, and I think we'll win a lot of money.
Well, I know we're about out of time. We're going to wrap up the show. But, you know, She's Gone Country with the CB Cowgirls is all about generations and stories behind the stories, bridging the gap, keeping what we do and what we love alive. And I just would love for you guys to share real quick, in your own words, what is it that you love so much about this lifestyle? Outside the money, outside the WNFR, what is it about the Western way of life? he said you're first.
Well, that's a tough question.
I don't know. Some people wake up and watch them Sunday morning Westerns. We wake up and live them.
That's good.
I just like to be a cowboy. Anything about it, you know, rodeo is just kind of the icing on the cake. You know, one day I want to own a bunch of cows and be a rancher. So, you know, this is just part of it, I think. It's just, it's a way of life, and I love it.
For me, I mean, I like Kate said, waking up and being a cowboy. And when I go home in the fall, it's like, I guess I have a lot of fun with my dad. My dad, he works UPS. And anyways, when he gets off, I mean, that's all he lives for is riding horses and helping me get better horses. And we've raised the horse I ride right now. And, I mean, so when I go home and we rope the lead steer or team rope or what, I mean, he's been hazing for me a little bit at the house. And that's what's fun to me is training them horses with him and just being a cowboy and having fun out here.
Yeah, well, pretty much like Kate said, I mean, like Blake and I are just ranch kids from Oregon. So, you know, it'd be fun if we could make this much money at a Brandon, you know, if he did this cool, but you can't. So the next best thing is steer wrestling for us. But, yeah, like we get home every fall and get to work, you know. You just put on older clothes and older boots, but it's pretty much the same thing, you know. And that's what I most enjoy about it. I've been real fortunate rodeoing is, you know, giving me everything I've got. And plus all the friendship and all the friends you make all over the world. I think that's, you know, when everything's said and done, you still got your friends. And I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I think everybody that talked earlier pretty much nailed it. But, you know, one thing I love about this sport, rodeo, just generally speaking, is I kind of like the mindset and the connections and friendships that are involved. You know, I know we all talk about it and we see it all the time when people have hardships, how many people step in to help, you know, and that network that's created. But I remember being in high school and we all played sports and at pretty high levels. We were, you know, everybody here is extremely athletic and we were playing sports and I remember, you know, playing football and stuff and you're riding the bus over there and in most sports as you head to the next town, all you can think about is, I mean, you know, obviously not how much you hate them. Those are strong words. But there's definitely, you know, I don't like rivalries, exactly. And I don't like them because you're from this town, or I don't like you because you play on this team. But I remember I live in a small town in Oregon, and we'd go to these other towns, and there was always kids on the other team that I high school rodeoed with. And I couldn't wait to see them, you know, and I couldn't care if what team they played on. So I really noticed that was unique to this sport. You know, it wasn't football, it wasn't basketball, it was rodeo. And you realize that you can be competitive and go head-to-head and yet still be great friends. And then I also noticed that kind of started spreading around. Pretty soon we'd go to this other town and there'd be three or four kids, and then the whole team would kind of, we'd dang sure we'd be competitive and we'd go head-to-head, but at the end of the day, you know, you were just buddies. And I think that's real unique to rodeo.
You know, I think, you know, growing up like Becky and I did on the ranch and all the friends that we made through the years, through the rodeo, and I believe that, you know, you can do any other type of sport, but I just challenge anyone that has grown up on a ranch and rodeoed, those are friends you make for life. You know, my dad was 90 years old the last time he came down here, and he had the biggest smile on his face. He picked up Saddle Bronx and hauled livestock from Eugene, Oregon to Dallas, Texas in 1959 for the very first NFR. And I can tell you that all those years in between, there wasn't very many years. Always, always he had contact with his rodeo friends and the rodeo family. We're all so blessed.
Well, we appreciate all of you guys coming in and joining us tonight. I want to wish every one of you guys good luck tonight and the rest of the week. And best luck. Hopefully one of you guys can come out with the title and some money in your pocket. And we'll keep track of what you're up to and make sure that we get that out there to our fans. But thank you so much for joining
us.
For
yep,
us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you,
have
guys.
A great afternoon, everybody.
Good luck. Have a great day.
Oh, we have a special hat. So, Sabrina, come here. This is from Nod Big Apparel. And they always talk about represent your event. And just basically says, gird up, toughen up, nod your hat when you come out of the gate. And they've graced us with some hats. So I'm going to let you pick someone to give a hat to. Have a nice night or afternoon.
Becky's still broadcasting evening.
I know. I got the night today.
We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks, everyone.
Well, I found this baby bird at the barn. Didn't even have any feathers on the little sucker. And I started feeding it soft cat food, and it survived. And as it got to old enough to where it could fly, I'd let it go outside and all that. But its favorite thing was to come in and sit on the windowsill and me stuff cat food in its mouth. And it one day when I was doing it, it just flap his little wings and bounce around. It was all happy, and it would chirp with its mouth full of cat food. And anyway, one day it decided to fly across the room, and that little hummer flew right smack dab into the ceiling fan. It sounded something like chirp, 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 frap. I'm telling you, I spent the next 30 minutes looking all over the room for a dead bird, and I finally found it in behind a piece of furniture where it had obviously got batted upside the living room and slid down the wall, knocked smooth out. Well, one thing I noticed about the little guy was, for a while, he quit flying high. He would fly low, you know. I guess he thought flying high was detrimental to his health. Well, I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know what? I've done that. I've been slapped senseless and flat before, and just like that little bird, I concluded that it was painful to reach high, that I didn't want to chance it anymore. And I decided not to reach higher and just stay safe. But the problem with that is something inside you begins to shrivel up and die. Well, we need to be wise and know when the atmosphere is conducive to flying. But let me tell you, God wants us reaching higher. And you got to go for it. I'm Crystal Lyons, and this is Cowgirl Logic. For more, you can go to cowgirllogic.net.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
Grace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rios, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rios Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRioSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Are you thinking of selling your home? Hi, I'm Deborah Osborne with Coldwell Banker Beachside. Before you do anything else, call 1-800-710-0260, extension 15, where you will hear a detailed recording on how I can sell your home faster and for more money than any other agent. Again, that toll-free number is 1-800-710-0260. 0260, extension 15. Call now and let's get you packing.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Discover the mysteries of cosmetic dentistry. For all the insider tips and wellness solutions, tune in to Get Your Smile On with Dr. Joel Gould, Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
4Radio.com.